And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today and next week, we're going to have, wow, are we not going to have a good time? You know, I've enjoy most of all exposing the forces of evil that are most concentrated in fighting truth, justice, and goodness. I do. I must tell you, it's a mission for me. It's great fun. I love to expose evildoers. And I don't flinch from saying that. Some people say, you mean you actually delight in it? I do indeed. I do delight in it. And I guess you might say it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. So Tex Mars says, I'll do it. I'll be the garbage man and expose some of the garbage out there. But here's the whole situation, friends. What we must do as Christians and as patriotic Americans is to expose these things. You know, when the darkness gathers, I'll tell you, that's when the candlelight is the most brilliant. So we have to have that truth, that light of truth, and it really can dispel the darkness. It's amazing. I'm sure you've had an experience where a brownout occurred, and you've lost your electricity, and everything was just so pitch black, and then you just lit up one candle, or you got your one flashlight, and wow, you know, what a brilliant a stream of light came from that one tiny source. Well, today we have one tiny source, but what a stream of light is coming from it. And I have the author of this outstanding new book with me today, and he's going to be with us next week as well. His name is Michael Hoffman. He has a number after it, in fact, Michael Hoffman II, but we're just going to call him Michael Hoffman if he doesn't mind. And he has done a tremendous thing. You know, we offered a book, in fact, we still offer it, called Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, broke tremendous ground. There's things in there, just little insights that you won't find anywhere else. We have that book available, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. You don't really think of psychological warfare by secret societies, but believe me, they're after your mind. They're after control of your mind. Well, there's some more psychological and spiritual warfare going on. And Michael Hoffman wrote a book some years ago called Judaism's Strange Gods. Now, we sold a ton of those books to people, and it's no longer available. And let me tell you why. It's because Michael Hoffman took the information in that book, which was very accurate and very documented, but now he's written a book that really supersedes it, replaces it. This book is a hardcover book entitled Judaism Discovered. Judaism Discovered. It's over 1,100 pages long. 1,100. Imagine. Now, later on the program, I'm going to tell you how to get your own copy of this book. I tell you, it weighs, I don't know how many pounds it weighs, but the postage is probably going to be a little bit here, but in any case, we'll tell you all about how to get the book later. It's the only book in the world like it. And I suspect because of the content, and especially because of the scholarly academic nature of this book, and I'm going to be discussing this with Michael Hoffman, and he'll be telling you about the book in just a minute. Because of that, I have a suspicion you're not going to be able just to wheel down to Barnes & Noble or Borders or some other bookstore and say, hey, get me that new book by Michael Hoffman. And you might not even be able to get it on Amazon.com. I'm not sure about that. But in any case, I'll tell you what, you can get it right here at Power of Prophecy Ministries, and we'll tell you how to do it on our website, or you can order it directly from us, or you can call us on the phone. As I said, it is a scholarly book, and yet it's so well written, you know, you don't have to have a scholarly degree to understand it. And it will tell you everything you need to know about the satanic religion called Judaism. Now, did you notice I used the word satanic? Maybe Michael Hoffman doesn't agree with me, but I'll ask him about that in just a little bit. Absolutely, in my opinion, totally satanic religion called Judaism. Judaism. And Michael Hoffman knows more than anybody that I know. And I suspect, and I want to tell you, I have worked with rabbis in the U.S. Air Force. I went in the Air Force as a young airman, just turned 18 by 2 weeks, and I asked to become a chaplain assistant. I think they had some fancy name, chapel manager or something. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was working with chaplains and in the chaplaincy in the Air Force. And I did that for 9 years while I was working evenings and weekends and just really mind-numbing work, getting a college degree. And then the Air Force favored me with an officer's commission. And then I went off into communications electronics in other areas. But the 9 years I worked in the chaplaincy of the U.S. Air Force were extremely interesting, and I worked with a number of Jewish rabbis, okay? Now, remember, I was Protestant, and I'm about as hardcore King James Bible believer, but there in the Air Force, they required me, you know, and I worked from airman all the way up to master sergeant, and before I became a second lieutenant, then went on to the officer corps where I retired some years later as a U.S. Air Force officer. But I worked with these Jewish chaplains. In fact, I remember very vividly a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish chaplain I worked with, became good friends with, but I discovered a lot of things myself about Judaism from that particular chaplain. But frankly, I don't think he knows if he's alive today, but he didn't then. I doubt if he knows as much about Judaism. And there he was, an Orthodox Jewish chaplain, a rabbi. I doubt if he knew as much as Michael Hoffman does. That's how much I value this man's work, okay? So you must understand. And I want to say one more thing before I introduce Michael Hoffman. The reason this is important is because, listen to this now, Abner Mikva, who was the White House counsel under President William Jefferson Clinton, under Bill Clinton, Abner Mikva, they're all corrupt, these Jewish lawyers. But he was the head counsel at the White House, and he was the guy that helped Clinton, you know, get over the impeachment and cover up all of the Monica Lewinsky scandals and so forth. But Mikva was interviewed recently by the Chicago Tribune, and I have that article. And he said, and by the way, it turns out that he is one of the big boys of the Jewish crowd who supported and has been watching over the career of Barack Obama from the time, I believe he was just a young boy, but certainly Abner Mikva said that he has known and guided, helped to guide the career of Barack Obama since he got out of college. So we're talking about for over two decades, and Mikva, this Jewish lawyer, one of the Jewish elite in Chicago and in the United States, says that Barack Obama will go down in history as America's first Jewish president. America's first Jewish president. What does that mean? He obviously, as far as I know, he doesn't have Jewish blood coursing through his veins. But perhaps it's just like Bill Clinton relished being called America's first black president because he gravitated and seemed to favor blacks so much. Constantly went to black churches and used that tool, the race card. What about Barack Obama being America's first Jewish president? That's a shocker. What does it mean for America? Well, I'll tell you, friends, you better find out about Judaism and what it really means, because over the next 4 to 8 years, America is going to change. And I believe it's possible, unless something is done, we will end up being, get this now, a satanic, Judaic society. What does Judaic mean? Well, there's a question for Michael Hoffman. Michael Hoffman, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Tex. It's good to be here.
A long introduction, but Judaism Discovered is a fantastic book. Now, we have almost 2 hours, and maybe the first question I should ask you is how you got interested in this topic. I'm going to just say right up front, you're a brilliant intellectual man. You could write on 100 different subjects and do well with any of them. Why Judaism Discovered?
Well, you're very kind. I would say that I feel that that's the most pressing controversy that we have in American society and the world today is understanding the religion of Judaism and its influence and how it's been misperceived over the centuries. And that was something that I felt God was calling me to, both because I had a passionate interest in suppressed knowledge and information, as well as the fact that there was a dearth of research in this area that was reliable. In other words, there's plenty of obsequious research in terms of servile scholars who approach the subject in awe and reverence. And we all know that except when we're studying the Holy Bible and the one true religion of Jesus Christ, that with every other subject, whether it's biology, chemistry, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, whatever it may be, we have to bring a skeptical mind to that. And we have to be willing to entertain doubts and consider whether or not the received opinion about Judaism is in fact true. And I found that the vast majority of the writers on the subject, the intellectuals, the professors, the academics, were failing in that task. So it was a combination of those two motivations that led me to Judaism. And I must also say that I was born and raised in New York, and therefore, practically from birth, I was immersed in the Judaic community. And some of them were my friends, and I was always fascinated by their energy and the degree to which they defended their positions and their co-religionists against the threats that they regarded were out there. So it's really been something that I've grown up with from my youth, Tex.
Well, you know, Michael, I recently went to one of the largest Christian bookstores in America, and they had about a dozen books on Islam. And every one of the books basically branded Islam as an evil, sinister religion. And, you know, they talked about jihad and how the Muslims were a threat to America and the whole world. Three or four of them even said the Antichrist is going to come out of the Muslim religion, all those things. I didn't see any books that were favorable to Islam, but they were all, as I said, bashing Islam and the Muslim religion. But interestingly enough, I didn't see one negative book about Judaism, not one. So in the Christian bookstores, in the evangelical Christian community, it seems that Judaism is highly praised. And I wonder, and maybe you can address this, every Christian that I talk to practically, when I say anything at all, the truth, the real truth, the awful truth of Judaism, their eyes gloss over and they say, well, isn't that the Old Testament religion? Why are you opposed to Moses and the prophets?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to address, first of all, this idea about Islam as being the number one evil. I certainly believe that Islam is a false religion, but it's false in the sense, as one of my Arab Christian friends pointed out to me, and I think that we need to have more of a relationship with the historic Christians of the Middle East. We often attempt to set ourselves up here in America as authorities on Christianity, Judaism, and Islam in the Middle East without ever consulting the Christians that have been there practically since the gospel was first planted there, and that's quite an oversight. And they told me that the Orthodox Christian perspective on Islam is that it's the worst of all Christian heresies. In other words, that there was a Christian element to it and that they uphold Jesus as being a great prophet, and they even uphold, they have respect for his mother Mary, but they have a fractured, distorted view of what the gospel is, and of course they reject the Apostle Paul. But the historic Christian teaching of the Arab Christians themselves have been that Islam is a Christian heresy, whereas Judaism was seen as a completely alien and hostile entity. And I think if we look back into history, for example, the history of the Middle Ages and the Crusades, nowadays we have these neocons running around talking about how it's Western civilization versus Islam, and they try to drag Christianity into the equation. But historic Christianity, at the very least, always saw Judaism as at least as bad as Islam, so that when the Crusaders went crusading against the Muslims, if there happened to be a Judaic ghetto in their way, and I'm certainly not advocating this, by the way, I think it was wrong, but if they happened to come across a Judaic ghetto, they would treat that Judaic ghetto with the contempt and with the violence that they would have treated a Muslim settlement. All of this is lost today. so that if we're going to take up a Western civilization historic preference position on Islam, we ought to also take a look at what the historic Western civilization position was on Judaism. And in fact, this is completely overlooked by, as you say, the modern evangelical Protestants today and many neocon Catholics as well. So it's really a gigantic omission, and I think it's an indictment. As far as the core claim, I think it's getting more and more thin on the ground that Judaism is the Old Testament religion. One of the principles that I articulated in the book Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare, which you said so many kind things about, is this notion that history is not static. And as the secret societies progress with their mind control and the process of human alchemy upon which they are inflicting us, they have progressed to the point where we've gotten so dumbed down and so processed that they can reveal to us some of the truths that previously they had to keep hidden lest they be brought to justice in one way or another, rough justice or court justice. And whereas now you can actually, according to the dictum of the medieval alchemists and some of the founding fathers of the Rosicrucians and the Elizabethan Isis Gnosis, that's I-S-I-S and then the word Gnosis, you have a principle where if you can reveal to people what you've done to them and they sit still for it, that's an even more onerous form of mind control. So I think we're beginning to see some of that in our society today, and we're beginning to find on websites and even in chain bookstores more and more commentary on the Talmud and more of a realization that Judaics do indeed place a great deal of overemphasis on the Talmud. Now, my argument in my book, Judaism Discovered, is that, of course, the Talmud is their supreme book and that they nullify the Old Testament. In fact, there's a statement in the Mishnah, the founding document of Rabbinic Judaism, that the Mishnah itself is the burying ground for Moses. So it's not the Mosaic religion. It's actually quite the opposite.
Now, Jesus would go along with you because he said that the Jews nullified the law of God through their man-made traditions. Is that what the Talmud is, man-made traditions?
Yes, you know, Tex, and I'm glad you brought up the New Testament, because so much of what we're talking about here could be cleared up if people really truly believe the words of Jesus as he said them without the embellishments of the modern priests and preachers of our modern era, because he pretty much clearly laid it out, and what we really need to do is simply to study and expand on it without adding our own human opinions to it. And that's absolutely correct. In Matthew 15 and in Mark 7, Jesus actually confronted the oral law, which became the Talmud. It was not yet written down because the Jews of his day had not yet become so corrupt. They had not yet crucified their Messiah. Once they committed the cosmic crime of crucifying their Messiah, then their corruption was exponentially increased. And a satanic oral tradition which had haunted Israel, sometimes out on the fringes, sometimes much closer to their hearts, as we saw during the lifetime of our Savior Jesus Christ, then became institutionalized when it was committed to writing. And the first portion of that transmission was the Mishnah, and then the authoritative halakhic commentary and laws upon the Mishnah called the Gemara formed the Talmud. But Jesus was actually confronting the Mishnaic statements before they were written down. So we could say that the gospel is a direct repudiation of the gnosis of the rabbis as expounded in the Talmud. And the proof texts are in Mark 7 and Matthew 15, and also in the Apostle Paul's writing.
Now, you know, you used some words there, the Mishnah, the Gemara. Some people may, you know, be maybe over their heads a little bit. But here I want to get back to a question I have for you so we can go on a very fundamental level. If I were to tell you that in my opinion, which is, it's not, by the way, but it is of most Christians, I believe, if I told you as the average Christian that I believe the rabbis simply taught from the Old Testament, and that's the religion of Judaism, which is Old Testament, and so that Christianity, therefore, is nothing more than the completion of the Old Testament, and that all we're really doing is taking the Jews, the rabbis' religion of the Old Testament, and adding on the New Testament, what would you say?
I would tell you to look at 1 Kings 18:20, where Ahab, at 1 Kings 18:17, actually, look at what Ahab accuses Elijah of. Elijah is fighting the prophets of Baal, as you well know, Tex, and he's fighting the prophets of Baal, but he's accused of being anti-Semitic. Ahab says to Elijah in 1 Kings 18:17, "Is it you, the troubler of Israel?" And this idea that the Old Testament is in favor of the racial egotism of the Jews is completely wrong, a total misnomer. And that's one of the places where I differ with Douglas Reed, who was a great journalist and wrote a very interesting book, Controversy of Zion, but he makes the fundamental error of Marcion. He repeats the Marcion heresy in believing that the Old Testament was the Jews' book and the New Testament was the Christians' book. In fact, we Christians are the heirs of the Old Testament, and the only Old Testament religion on earth today is Christianity, because it is the completion of that religion. And how on earth could the Old Testament be the religion of Judaism when the Old Testament is constantly criticizing racial Israel, pointing out to them their pretensions, their fallacies, their errors, and warning them? And any religion that was really an Old Testament religion would be very humble about itself and would not proclaim that race was a means of salvation. And we not only have 1 Kings, we can go over to Isaiah, where we see that Isaiah was accused by the Jews of his day of having unclean lips. Of being evil when he said that Israel had unclean lips. When Isaiah said Israel had unclean lips, the Jews of his day basically, fundamentally, accused him of being anti-Semitic. I mean, the anti-Semitic charge didn't actually emerge until the 19th century, so I'm speaking broadly here, but that was the gist of it. And in the Talmud itself, text, as I bring out in my book, the Talmud says that Isaiah, for the sin of accusing Israel of having unclean lips, had a saw placed across his mouth, and he was killed with that saw, sawing his mouth in half. I guess this really makes the juices flow for the rabbis when they can get this kind of vengeance going. And that's what's written in the Talmud. And I believe Jesus was aware of that, because Jesus said that you testify against yourselves. He said the Pharisees will testify against themselves, and this is what the Talmud actually does, where they admit they killed the prophet Isaiah. Now, how on earth could that be an Old Testament religion? Any claim of Old Testament religiosity on the part of rabbinic Judaism is sheer ignorance foisted on the ignorant goyim. That's all it is.
Now, the Pharisees, a writer told me just yesterday, he said, Tex, you should be criticizing the Pharisees, but that has nothing to do with today's Jews and Judaism. What about that?
Well, the Judaic rabbis themselves, the Orthodox, admit that they are the continuation of Pharisaic Judaism. And that's a boast. That's a common brag. Again, documented in my book, Judaism Discovered. If people have read the book, then they've seen the evidence and documentation. Rabbi Jake Neusner, who is considered one of the top Orthodox rabbinic scholars in the world. He's a close friend of the Vatican and of the modernist popes, and he has clearly made the statement without any ambiguity whatsoever that Orthodox Judaism is the continuation of rabbinic Judaism, because it is the Pharisaic sect which was the articulators and transmitters of what's known as the Torah Shebel Peah. And quite often we'll see Orthodox Judaics, they were loyal to the Torah, and the Gentiles see that and they think, oh, well, there you go, that means that they're loyal to the Bible. They don't realize that there's a dual Torah system operating in Judaism. There's the Torah that we Christians know to be the Torah, specifically the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, but when they're talking about the Torah, they're talking about the Torah Shebel Peah, which is the oral Torah of the Pharisees. So there is no other. We're talking about Orthodox Judaism, and that is the target of my book, basically because Reform and Conservative Judaism are watered-down liberal variants, so I would rather go after the radix than after these pale, ghostly liberal variants. Let's get to the root of the problem. There's no question whatsoever, and I have not seen any reputable academic deny that Orthodox Judaism is not the direct heir and continuation of Pharisaic, of the Pharisees of the first century A.D.
Okay, that's a very good understanding there. In other words, this is, your book about Judaism is about a religion that is Phariseeism. You know, when I was stationed at Lackland Air Force Base, Texas, and in the chaplaincy, I remember I worked, you know, in the same office, little setup there. We had, I was in the head chaplain's office, and I took care of the money, by the way. That was my job as an airman. And I was in charge of the three largest chaplain funds in the Air Force, Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish. So I worked with, not for, but I worked with a Jewish rabbi. And I didn't ever call him rabbi, I call him chaplain. And a Protestant and a Catholic priest in terms of working with their money. And, of course, I knew exactly, you know, I went to their worship services and saw what they did, and that was part of the job that I had. But it's interesting. One day, one of the chaplains we had, a Baptist chaplain who was a full colonel, mentioned something about don't be a Pharisee. It was just a statement he made to somebody. You know, we were just talking and chatting, and he said, don't be a Pharisee. And the rabbi, you know, I looked at, and he sort of glanced up. Well, that very day, you know, he stopped by my office, and he said, hey, Tex, let's go to get some coffee. There's a coffee shop, you know, about a half a block away. So I and this Jewish chaplain went down and had just have a cup of coffee, take a coffee break, whereupon he unburdened himself of his anger. He was angry at this Baptist chaplain for using the word Phariseeism, you know, a Pharisee. And he said, what he didn't understand, Tex, is that I am a Pharisee. I'm an Orthodox chaplain. I'm a Pharisee. And he got angry at somebody using that word in a demeaning fashion. I thought that was sort of, I'm totally confirming what you said in the words of an Orthodox Jewish rabbi in the Air Force who said, I am a Pharisee. And he didn't like people to put down Phariseeism. I thought that was sort of unique at the time. You know, I was a 21-year-old airman, you know, learning a lot of things at the time about that particular guy, who, by the way, had a chip on his shoulder that must have weighed a ton.
Yeah.
And really a really unbridled hatred of Christianity that he tried to disguise even from me, but didn't do a good job of it. Okay, well, let's get down to the book Judaism Discovered, okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, you mentioned the word anti-Semitism and how, you know, it came about and such. It appears that this anti-Semitism or the allegations, they use it as a tool, as a weapon that they brandish to beat people down. How does this tie in with Judaism, this anti-Semitism?
Well, it's a very important intimidation factor. I just want to preface my remarks by saying that the bad name the Pharisees have is at least a good thing in the sense that Jesus' words are surviving into our time, because he talked about a Pharisaic mentality of people that will swallow a camel and strain at a gnat. And the way the rabbis are countering that today is to suggest that there was good rabbinic Pharisees, and they raise Hillel as being someone who allegedly spoke as Jesus spoke about kindness and love. It's all a charade. For example, Hillel allowed for the molestation of little boys, and I also go into that in my book. But I wanted to bring that up, that they're positing a good Pharisee, Hillel, against some stricter and more exclusivist and narrow-minded ones like Shammai, and they play this game between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai.
Now, I'll tell you what, hold on just a minute. Hold your thought on that. We're going to have to take a quick break, Michael. We've come up to the halftime area here. Hey, my guest is Michael Hoffman. He's the author of Judaism Discovered. Stay with us. We're going to be back in just a moment. And meanwhile, I'm going to tell you how to get a copy of this incredible new book. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power Prophecy with my special guest, Michael Hoffman II. This is Tex Mars again. I want to offer you this book, Judaism Discovered, the only book of its kind. Now, you need to understand, dear friends, what is the Talmud? What is Judaism? What is this religion? How will it affect your life in the coming years? Has Judaism and the elite Jews behind it actually taken over America? Has there been a coup d'etat? And when did it occur? But most of all, the religious, spiritual aspects and how they affect our very lives today. You may think this is just a scholarly topic that has nothing of importance to say to you and the life of your loved ones, but you're wrong. So you must understand, because the Jews are only somewhere around 2% of the American population. But anyone in the know would tell you that they control our entertainment, they control our educational system, and certainly they are the rulers in Washington, D.C. today. Now, you'll discover in this book about what I call voodoo magic. Magic, sorcery. Could it be that Judaism is a religion of sinister sorcery? How about hatred of Christians, or worse, utter blasphemy toward Jesus the Messiah? Do the Jews in their Talmud express hatred of Christianity? Do they believe that they are racially superior to you and to me and to all Gentiles? Is it true that Gentiles are called nothing more than beast, the goyim, cattle by the Jews? Do they hold that human life that is not Judaic, that is not Jewish, is not as precious? Is there a sexual depravity among the Jews expressed in the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book? Are they, and I don't want to be vulgar here, but is this Jewish Talmud that Michael Hoffman has told you is their most holy book, even more holy to the average rabbi and thus the average Jewish worshiper, than the Old Testament, than the Torah of the Old Testament? That's how, and such esteem they hold this most holy book, the Talmud. But is it obsessed with something as mundane as bodily functions? Bodily functions, toilet, behavior, and the Talmud itself. Yes, it's man-made traditions, but do these traditions do good, or do they sponsor evil, even death, even bloodshed? Do they foster war? Do they foster racism and bigotry? Well, all of these things you need to know, and this book is going to give you the answers. And here is the beauty of this book, that Michael Hoffman has done such a terrific amount of research that you'll find the answers to all these questions and many more in the rabbi's own words. You see, he didn't make up this stuff. Michael Hoffman didn't say, this is my opinion about these things. This is what the Jewish rabbis themselves over the centuries, and especially in modern Judaism, have taught and are teaching. This book, I believe that many rabbis can get a little lesson themselves from this book. But many of them also know, they know how detestable and disgusting Christians would find their religion, and that's why they hide it. And according to Mr. Hoffman in the book, and he documents it in the words of the Jews themselves, they're threatened with horrible actions if they even teach it to Gentiles. They don't want you to know the awful truth about their holy book. They want to keep it from you. And that's why, well, Michael Hoffman says, I'm going to tell people about it. I'm going to discover Judaism and expose it to the whole world. And that's what he's done. And I'll tell you, after you get this book, you're going to want to offer it to your friends. You're going to want to sponsor this book in a way. I believe it could give many people a mission for existence in life, a goal, an objective. And that goal would be to go forth with the truth. Jesus Christ himself exposed the Talmud. If Jesus thought it was that important, well, is it not essential for you and I to do as well? If all of the apostles of the New Testament exposed the lies of the Jews in their Talmud, isn't that an important thing for you to know? So again, I could not give it a higher recommendation. Now, this book, because it's hardcover, because it's over 1,100 pages, we're asking $50 for the book. That will take care of the shipping, the handling, everything. We have plenty of copies on hand. If not, well, I'll get down on my hands and knees and beg Michael Hoffman to send us some more, which I think he will. He's good about it. But we're going to get this book out. And as you know, our promise to you is when we get your order within about 1 or 2 days, it's out of here. You don't have to wait on our orders. Well, the Postal Service sometimes a little slow. It's not our fault, but we do our best. You know it will be out of here right away because we want you to have this information. We want you to study this book. We want you to know about these things. So $50, that's postpaid, shipping, handling, everything. And it'll be sent on its way to you. It'll be shrink wrapped in plastic. So for protection, and we'll have it nice in a nice padded package to you. And it'll be in some packages, a regular package. It won't say on the outside anything that would embarrass you. So I want you to have this book, Judaism Discovered, for $50. That's postpaid. Now, here's how to get the book. Simply phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800 in the United States and Canada, 1-800-234-9673. You can also send us a check or a money order or cash, $50. Send that by mail to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road. We've been here, Jerry, I guess we've been here. I'm talking to my broadcast man. We've been here about 12, 13, 14 years now, haven't we? Yeah, same address. Yeah. We've only had two addresses in the ministry in 22 years, over 22 years. So we've been here a long time. The postmen know us. They're very friendly. But they'll get your request to us. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, in the USA. And that zip code is 78733. Now, if you'd like, you can go to our web pages. That's powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com. Go to powerofprophecy.com, and right there on the front page, right on the home page, you'll see Judaism Discovered, a little picture of it. Just scroll down and look for it, and you'll see it. Click on that. It'll have a description of the book, tell you all about it, and you can order it very easily using PayPal or whatever online right there at powerofprophecy.com. powerofprophecy.com. If you can spell my name right, most of you can, TexMars.com will get you there too. The book is Judaism Discovered by Michael Hoffman. All right. Now let's return to our regular program. Michael Hoffman is my guest today. He is the author of a number of books. He has a website. He has a newsletter. And now we're discussing Judaism Discovered. Michael, tell us a little bit how people can access your website.
The web text is www.revisionisthistory.org. Then that's all one word, revisionisthistory.org.
Revisionisthistory.org. Okay, very good. Now, you were talking about anti-Semitism and its connection with Judaism, so continue, please.
Yes, well, that's the intimidation device that's used to stifle scientific and empirical investigation of Judaism and allied fields like Israeli Zionism, and people are very afraid of it in the university world. Like you, I attended the university, and I saw the level of intimidation that was operant there, and so I think it is important to study this mechanism and see how it came about. And actually, it's a fairly recent minting. It was created in the 19th century by a Jew hater named Wilhelm Marr. So it's kind of unusual that these various institutes dedicated to ferreting out so-called anti-Semitism led by Zionists and by rabbis are actually relying on a term that was first coined by someone who hated Judaic persons, and that person being Wilhelm Marr. And what Marr basically did was he created something that was an underground current, and that was a racial animus. He put his finger on a racial animus towards people who are identified as Jews, whereas, as we know, as Christians, this doesn't involve us whatsoever. But Marr saw it as Judaism as being a biological entity. It was part of the 19th century mania after Darwin. You had Darwin with his supposed scientific analysis of evolution. We know it to be a pseudoscience today, but that was the prestige and aura that it had. Also, Karl Marx didn't simply call his theory socialism. He called it scientific socialism. So you could advance your own particular hobby horse by prefacing it with a scientific adjective there, and that's what Marr was actually doing. But as far as it impacts us in our research, I'd like to quote my colleague, the late Charles D. Provan, who wrote, "For the Christian, one so-called race has no bearing on his standing with God. So our attack on the Talmud is not based on race. We Christians are followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a Jew according to the flesh. And we reject the claim of so-called racial Jews to be the chosen people, but this by no means makes us view their race as evil. It is not evil. It is irrelevant." So, Tex, it's an act of extraordinarily brazen intellectual dishonesty to term Christians who expose the Talmud as anti-Semitic. Like our Lord Jesus Christ, his issue was not with a particular race of people. His issue was with a spiritual plague, a mental ideology which travels from person to person. It travels from so-called Aryan, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people in the order of Freemasonry who are spiritually Judaized and following the Kabbalah in their Freemasonic headquarters, whereas we could have a person of Judaic descent who is a sincere and authentic believer in Jesus Christ. So who is more valued in God's eyes, the Caucasian who is following the satanic Freemasons or the person of Judaic descent who is now a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? So I think that it's fairly easy to disarm this anti-Semitic accusation, because we as Christians, if we are true Christians, we are not going after rabbis because they are of a particular race. And as you probably know, I myself don't even believe that they're necessarily Jews, because all of the genealogical records were destroyed when the Romans raised Jerusalem in 70 AD. And since I don't believe what they tell us, I do not take for face value their claim. And therefore, some of them are going to feel very sorry on Judgment Day when they have believed the Pat Robertsons of the world and believe that they're saved by their race and come to find out they're not even of that race. But the race issue plays no part in my research, and it plays no part in the research of true Christians. We're concerned with people who uphold the Talmud and nullify the Old Testament, and therefore we can't be called anti-Semitic. We are anti-Rabbinic, we are anti-Talmud, and pro-truth.
All right, well, let's just take Sammy Davis Jr. He was a black man.
Yes.
Marvelous entertainer, obviously, even though he descended into the depths of Satanism for a long while there. But he was a black man, but he said he converted to Judaism. And then there's Marilyn Monroe, the actress, who also supposedly converted to Judaism. So you're not opposed to the race of Marilyn Monroe or the race of Sammy Davis Jr. You're saying the religion that they bought into, unfortunately, Judaism, is a satanic sect or cult, and you would have liked to probably have talked to each one of them and told them the truth about this religion to help them to escape its clutches.
Yes, that's right, Tex. I would have pitied them for having given up. I assume that both of them were raised with some type of Christianity, however nominal. And then in order to achieve success, I think in Sammy Davis Jr.'s case, and you're right, he's one of the few people in Hollywood that we can absolutely document to have been a member of the Church of Satan. And then Marilyn Monroe with marrying the playwright Arthur Miller. Absolutely, the bone of contention I would have with them is their religion and not their race. Because for me, when Scripture says salvation is of the Jews, meaning that Jesus was the belt of transmission for that salvation, for me, the word Jew is a holy word, and I'm not out to disparage individual Jews, or Judaics as I call them, not being absolutely certain of their racial provenance, because I want to convert them. And one of the points of my book is that the biggest victims of Judaism are Judaics themselves. Imagine being a little Judaic child in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. You don't know any better. It's not your fault. You've been raised on the Talmud. You've been raised on this racial conceit and this Israeli violence, which regards the Palestinians as subhuman, and so you can bomb and destroy their cities. And also, your life is minutely regulated from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep with thousands and thousands of Pharisaic rules that oversee every aspect of your life. I have pity on those people. And some of those people are very anxious to get out of that movement, very angry at it, and some of them have provided key research to me for my book. So the enemy is not the Jew. The enemy is, be they Freemasons or be they rabbis, the people who continue the spiritual contagion and ideology that confronted our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified him, and continues to subvert our nation and our world today.
All right. We got that nailed down pretty good, I think, Michael. Now, let's just go to the Talmud itself. On page 15 of your book, you say, and by the way, you're quoting the New York Times here, and it's quite interesting, the information provided, but you say that the cradle, in other words, the origins or where it came from, of the Talmud, which is the Jews' most holy book, all right, is Babylon, ancient Babylon. Now, this is an amazing thing because the Bible has some terrible things to say about Babylon and mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, and yet you document this fact. Tell us a little bit about the Babylonian connection.
Well, I see Judaism as basically a recrudescence of the pharaonic magic of ancient Egypt, and that magic has spread through a number of geographical areas and a number of religions. Certainly, Hinduism is a survival of it. Judaism is a survival of it. But what interests me in Judaism is that Judaism has had, up until very recently, the singular impact on the Western secret societies and the Western occult. The Western occult really did not have an opportunity to meet and encounter Hinduism until, for example, in a significant way, until, for example, Clive of the British Empire conquered parts of India in the 18th century. So for many, many centuries, Western intellectuals and those who wanted to engage in forbidden pursuits intellectually and spiritually would go to the rabbi, would go to the rabbinic gnosis to discover that, because at some sub-level of their consciousness, they must have been aware that that's what Judaism is. It's a survival of Egyptian paganism and black magic as filtered through ancient Babylon, which, as you pointed out from the book of Revelation onward, is more or less a synonym for corruption and for sorcery. And out of this, the influence on the Judaic rabbis in the cradle of Babylon was instrumental, because so much of Judaism is anti-Old Testament, including, for example, something that I point out in my book, and I even reproduce a photograph of it, a magical amulet which the Kabbalistic and Talmudic rabbis are engaged in manufacturing. And this has come up in Israeli elections texts, where one of the most violent and racist political parties in the Israeli state is known as the Shas Party, S-H-A-S. And they are supported by one of the chief Sephardic rabbis, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef actually hands out magic amulets. If you will agree to vote for the Shas Party, then you can come to his headquarters and receive this good luck charm, which these supposed biblical Old Testament Judaics then take and feel that they're blessed by receiving this amulet. Now, do you and I, would we call that Old Testament Israel, or would we call that Babylonian paganism?
Yeah, I would sort of call that, you know, a Simon the Magician type of nonsense. Is what I. So really, boy, so Babylon, a synonym for evil throughout the centuries, and something which God says in the book of Revelation is going to be the very font of evil, is the font of Judaism.
Absolutely, and we have two Talmuds. We have the Jerusalem Talmud, which was the first, and we have the Babylonian Talmud, which arose during the Amoraic era, circa 300 to 600 A.D., and the authoritative of the two is the Babylonian version. That's far more authoritative, and it is the central divine text, so-called, of Orthodox Judaism, and here they actually give it the name, the Babylonian Talmud. That ought to tell us something. That ought to set off, trigger an alarm in our minds about what's going on here with this counterfeit Israel and its phony claim to being an Old Testament Israelite religion.
You know, if I told somebody, come be a Christian and discover the wonderful truths in our Babylonian New Testament, their eyes would pop out. But the rabbis, they actually say that. This is the Babylonian Talmud. They admit, even their own encyclopedia, as their source for knowledge. Wow. Okay, now here's something I want to ask you about. I don't know, we don't have much time left, but what we can, let's talk about this. Now, your book actually is entitled Judaism Discovered from Its Own Texts. And then you have a subtitle here that I think is outstanding. A Study of the Anti-Biblical Religion of Racism, Self-Worship, Superstition, and Deceit. Is it your contention, Brother Michael, that Judaism itself, in your discovery of it through the textbooks and the academic work that you've done, that it is an anti-biblical religion of racism, self-worship, superstition, and deceit?
Absolutely. The Talmud itself and the halakha, that is to say the law that evolves out of those rabbinic traditions, clearly says that the Talmud is the holiest book, that you are to study the Talmud in preference to the Old Testament. And they carry on the traditions when Jesus said, you are the killer of all the righteous from Abel onward. And he was referring, I believe, to the murder of the prophet Isaiah. This is a religion which has continued this heritage of prophet murder. And it has continued the nullification of the Old Testament, because the self-worship aspect that I'm pointing to in the subtitle of my book is that really, actually, when you plumb to the very occult depths of Judaism, you find that it consists of the worship of the Judaic male as personified by the rabbi. And there are key portions of the rabbinic halakha and authoritative rabbinic texts that have God being defeated by the rabbis. God will have a conversation with the rabbis. The rabbis will propose one thesis. God will suggest an antithesis to that. And the denouement is that God ends up admitting that he was wrong and the rabbis are right. And this is outrageous blasphemy against our God, but it does show how far racial pride, when you have these evangelical Protestants and neocon Catholics encouraging the Judaics in their racial pride, instead of warning them about it, as the church always did, and warning all of us against pride. We're all sinners. None of us should be proud. But there's only one religion that I know that has made a cult out of pride, out of megalomania, and that's Judaism. It's very, very destructive, and it has actually been institutionalized in the form of the authoritative Talmudic texts, literally teaching that the Judaic male is God. And so when you combine that with the deceit, the institutionalized lying, and they don't only lie to us, which it's permissible to lie to Gentiles, they give a number of alibis and pretexts for it, but that's the actual gist of it. But of course, those who are going to deceive God and cheat the Gentiles are going to end up cheating each other. And so it's a horrible situation that's evolved here, and unquestionably the features that I have identified, I've tried to create as a stream in the book that where we can pinpoint in these texts, because there's no use talking about personal opinion here or what some European Christian statesman has to say about this. I wanted this book to be irrefutable. And so I had to go into the texts themselves, and this book represents years of scholarship working with the Steinsaltz edition of the Talmud, the Sonsino Talmud, and other Aramaic translations that were furnished to me. And as a result of that, yes, I can testify that this is a religion of self-worship, of racism, of deceit, and it's all a palimpsest of fraud, because it continues to be presented to the world as a religion of peace and a religion of the Bible. And I think we've seen in Gaza recently that it is certainly not a religion of peace. And it's my contention in my book that it is the overthrow of the Old Testament in our world today.
Overthrow of the Old Testament. Wow. Now, let's talk about this racism and self-worship just a little bit more. I was reading a Jewish publication some years ago where basically the author stated something that really caught my eyes. He was talking about a Messiah, and he was rejecting Jesus and putting down Christianity, but he went on to make the statement, and I want to paraphrase him, but I'm accurate in doing so. He said the Jewish people are collectively their own Messiah. Collectively, the Jewish people don't even need a Messiah. They are their own Messiah. Have you come across this, and is this addressed in your book?
Yes, and it is addressed in my book because the bridge between Orthodox Judaism and Zionism is a man named Moses Hess, a very important figure, very little known, but I wanted to concentrate on him because Zionism is really a direct offshoot of Orthodox Judaism, even though there are Orthodox Judaics who have problems with Zionism, and I go into that in my book. But what you're articulating here, Tex, is actually a more politicized version of the religion of Judaism. It's a secularization of the main impetus. The impetus of the religion is self-worship, but how that manifests, it can manifest in Zionism of saying that we ourselves are the collective Messiah. Orthodox Judaism would continue to insist that there will be a Moshiach, as they would say in Hebrew, and that person will be an individual. But we know that they rejected Jesus because he was not the type of Messiah that they expected. They expect a worldly king who will conquer their enemies by military force. So that's still in play. But for many Zionists who've spun off from the religion of Judaism and continue to hold it in great esteem, they see the Israeli project itself and the Zionist people as being their own Messiah. And certainly with the United Nations recognition of the Israeli state, we can see that secularization in place here. At the same time, the rabbis are not willing to let go of this counterfeit Israel. And that's why, as I said earlier, Rabbi Ovadia Yosef and many other Orthodox rabbis continue to meddle in Israeli politics and even use their so-called magical powers to influence the vote, as ridiculous as that may sound to rational people. But there's nothing too ridiculous for a rabbi.
But on the other hand, even if Orthodox Judaism professes a belief in a God, you know, outside of themselves or outside the Jewish race, the so-called chosen people, even if they express a belief in that external God by claiming that the rabbis, the ancient rabbi sages, were more wise than God and actually won debates against God, you know, and won controversies and knew more than God, they are really asserting that they are gods, that they are God men.
Which is, as Jesus said, a testimony against themselves, because once Christians are actually aware of this, then, of course, any Christian of goodwill can no longer in any way, shape, or form support the rabbinate or support Orthodox Judaism. And, for example, the Babylonian Talmud in the tractate Yebamoth 36b states, "The sages safeguarded their own enactments more than those of the Torah." And so we see that what they're basically admitting is that the traditions of men, that is to say their own enactments, what Jesus condemned, what he said, you're nullifying the word of God through the traditions of men. Here is the Talmud itself admitting that this is exactly what they're doing. In fact, they're bragging about it, and that's why for a long time before we reached this revelation of the method era, it was a death penalty offense for a Gentile to read the Talmud. But now they're so certain in this era of rabbinic supremacy that they have the Gentile world nailed down. They've nullified the Christian religion. There's very few authentic Christian leaders today who have the courage to confront this. They feel that they can allow us to study the Talmud because most people won't care even when they find out how evil, in fact, it is.
Michael Hoffman, you've been a great enlightener today. I want to thank you for being on the program. And let's do this again next week because we need to get into more about the sexual depravity of the Jews, their utter blasphemy toward Jesus, so much more. Thank you, Brother Michael.
Thank you, Tex. I appreciate the opportunity.
Judaism Discovered is the name of the book. And for $50 postpaid, we'll send you your personal copy. Tremendous resource for every library, every home. You must know this information. This is Tex Mars. My guest today has been Michael Hoffman. I invite you to tune in each week during this same time, being heard around the world. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.